Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. What's up, Money Nerds? I am live in Dallas, Texas right now. So what I am doing is heading on a family vacation, which should be really interesting. We're gonna go to Amsterdam and to Paris and go tour around. This is the first time my mom and my little brother have ever been overseas, and I think like their second time ever flying. So as you can imagine, they have a lot of anxiety, which means that I have a lot of anxiety. I don't know if you guys have ever traveled with family, but it's super stressful. And so if you were listening to this, just do me a favor, pray that I have patience throughout this whole trip so I don't turn into a total jerk, because it's a little bit of a challenge for me. But yeah, if you've traveled, you totally understand what I'm talking about. Regardless, though, it should be a pretty good trip. It should be really fun. Definitely very budget friendly. Recently, it was actually last night, I got the chance to sit down with a couple people to chat on adulting.tv, the podcast, and talk a little bit about budget friendly travel stuff. So I'm a really big advocate of traveling. I think it's a really good way to experience the world and have a good time with money. So if you want to check that out, it's on YouTube. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see it, and you can get all of the budget tips that I use for traveling. All right, guys, enough about me. Let's talk about you. This is my favorite segment where I share your money wins. This is so much fun, and it's always so hard to just pick one money win. I wish I could do like five, but for time's sake, I have to just choose one. So here's the money win for this week. It comes from Parker, who shared this in the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss. He said, recently paid off all my credit card debt. With payday in 2 days and a comfortable buffer in savings, I don't expect to have to use them again. Hashtag money win. Parker, you are kicking ass, my friend. That is amazing. I'm so proud of you for paying off all the credit card debt and for not actually having to use that with the buffer piece there too. Super, super smart. Guys, learn from Parker. Put a buffer into your savings account as well so that you don't have to rely on debt to get you through hard times. Okay, are you guys ready for today's guest? This was a really fun conversation. It was with Chris Miles, the cash flow expert. He is a leading authority on how to quickly free up and create cash flow for thousands of his clients, entrepreneurs, and others internationally. He's an author, a speaker, and fellow podcaster at the Chris Miles Money Show. He's been featured in US News, CNN Money, and Entrepreneur on Fire, which is a really great podcast, by the way, helping thousands internationally get fast financial results. In fact, this is crazy. His average client finds $33,000 per year. What? For some of you, that's like, that's a yearly income. I know for me, when I graduated college, $33,000 a year, that's like how much I was making. So that's pretty impressive stuff. In this episode, we talk about the surprising strategy that Chris used personally to retire at 28 years old. And then again, in his 30s, there's the funny story of why he came out of retirement. One of the good things when you get really good at your craft, quitting his business at the high point of his career. He talks about why he did that. And I think it's really fascinating to see when people choose to walk away from really good financial situations. He talks about how to find $5,000 in 45 minutes, why savers have a harder time becoming financially free, the law of attention and the law of atrophy. Guys, you are going to learn so much from this episode. I am stoked to introduce you to my new friend, Chris Miles from MoneyRipples.com. Welcome back, everybody. Today I have Chris Miles with us. Chris is the founder of MoneyRipples.com, and he's also a fellow podcaster at Chris Miles Money Show podcast. I am so excited to chat with another podcaster for one thing, but Chris, you're a rock star. I'm excited to dive into your story. Thanks for joining, man.
It's an honor. I appreciate you having me on, Whitney.
So one of the things that I noticed when I was looking through your bio is a couple really cool things. The first piece that really stood out to me was that you were able to officially retire when you were 28 years old. Dude, yeah. How did you do that? What was going on there?
It's funny, but it was actually doing the exact opposite of everything I taught as a financial advisor.
That's awesome.
That's pretty much what it was. Because I kind of started out my path. Like, I actually went to college in sociology and with a possible triple minor in psychology, Japanese, and ballroom dancing. And so, you know, kind of a Renaissance man of sorts, you know.
I'd say so.
You know, and I was actually going to, my whole purpose is going to business consulting. But I realized, like, if I should do that, I should probably have my own business, right? Like, get real life experience. And so I actually ended up dropping out of college. And the first business I came across was becoming a financial advisor, because, I mean, they pretty much accept anybody, you know, as long as you're willing to do all the tests and all that kind of stuff. It's like being a realtor, basically, you know. And so I did that, and I actually started to enjoy it. And so I never actually went back to college. I actually stayed dropped out with one class to go for my bachelor's. And so I did that for 4 years. And I'll tell you, it was a struggle, you know, because I was teaching people to save everything, spend nothing, you know, sacrifice, suffer, invest in stocks, you know, basically, like, your entire life sucks, you know, pretty much in that scenario. It's like, it's always someday, right? It's never like today. It's like someday, you know, eventually in 30 to 40 years, you could be retired, right? And I remember my whole goal was just to retire by the time I was 40. I thought, like, man, if I just get my business built up good enough, you know, over 15 plus years, I can be retired. And I taught that for about 4 years. But I started to meet people that were millionaires, people that actually had been there, done that. Some were even younger than me, which shocked me. I was like, whoa, there's guys in these mid-20s that are millionaires. How in the heck do they do it? Because I'm, like, you know, struggling, just trying to, like, you know, really hustle and work hard, you know, on my business. And I started to realize that they laughed and scorned at the traditional, conventional financial advice, right? And so they thought it was dumb. They're like, yeah, high risk creates high returns. That's dumb. We want to take the lowest risk possible and, well, you know, invest for the long haul. Well, how long is that? Because the market goes down, then you have to be in it for longer, you know. And I witnessed that with my dad, actually, and with Y2K. He was about to retire and then wiped it out, and he worked for another almost 15 years after that.
Wow.
And so all that kind of stuff, I was like, okay, I can't refute the evidence, right? And I was like, yeah, who would teach this kind of crap? Oh, it's me. Dang it. Like, you know, so that's where, like, I realized, like, okay, I got to do it differently. So March of 06, like, that's when I went to one of the guys they put on an event here in Utah. And I said, okay, I'm done. Like, so I put in my resignation, said, I will never teach about money again. I'm done. I will just go teach ballroom dancing and do mortgages, you know, and that was pretty much my plan. Yeah, that was going to be my plan, right? And I should say it wasn't too rash, because I spent a couple months wondering if I could make it work as a financial advisor. Funny thing is, when I stopped teaching the traditional stuff and I started teaching the things I was learning, my business was actually at a high. So I quit at the height of my business rather than the low point. And then I was like, okay, well, now what? And I knew that it drove me nuts that there was guys that were younger than me, or guys, you know, just they'd figured it out. And I wanted to know what they knew. So I started, like, really learning from them, you know, getting coached by some of them personally. And by July of that same year, I was able to retire.
Wow.
And the way I did that, it was interesting, because it was kind of almost accidental. One, because they wouldn't teach me strategies very often. They would only teach me principles, right? Hmm. They would teach me things like dollars follow value. Like, hey, if you want more money, stop trying to go chase after money. Figure out how you're going to create more value for more people. How you can create something that they want to exchange money for, you know? Like, it was a very different mindset. It wasn't like I had to take from people. It was like, how do I give something in a way that money comes back as a natural, you know, natural result? And so I started focusing on that. And the thing that naturally came up is people would see there was a shift in me a little bit. Like, I was changing. They didn't know how, but they saw something. And they started asking me more questions, like financial questions. I'm like, hey, I don't do that stuff anymore. Like, I'm not a financial advisor. I quit. But hey, you know what? You should learn this and this. You do this and this. I learned a few strategies, started to learn it over time. It's like, if you do this and this, if you could leverage your mortgage and do this, you can actually get out of the rat race and do these kind of things, right, with investing and whatnot. And they're like, cool. And I remember I talked to one of the guys that was kind of mentoring me. And he said, you know, Chris, do you like doing mortgages? I was like, well, I like teaching about it. I like getting them the results. But I hate the follow through. I hate the fact that I tell them it's going to be like 2 to 3 weeks at least before they would close back then, right?
Right.
And then they would say, okay, they call the next day saying, hey, they're going to close yet? It's like, dude, I just told you 2 to 3 weeks, stop bugging me at all hours of the night, you know? So that bugged me. And so I didn't like all the paperwork and the follow through, that kind of stuff. I like just to be able to teach them, get them the results, and then, you know, make them happy. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, why don't you find somebody who does like doing that? And I remember in the scarcity world when I was a financial advisor, you didn't really want to split commissions, right? Because that meant you got less, you know, you got paid less. There's that scarcity world of losing out, you know, if somebody else wins. And so that zero sum game, right? Mm-hmm. And so instead, he's like, well, why don't you refer it out? And so I found a guy that's kind of nerdy. It wasn't great at the, you know, getting people to come to him, but he was great at the work. So I said, hey, if I did this with you, and I was licensed in mortgages, of course, I said, if I sent you people, they're already ready to go. You just got to do the paperwork. Would you split this 50-50? He's like, well, yeah, of course. Of course I would. But great. So let's do that. And so I teach them for maybe like a half an hour or so, mm-hmm. and then send them on. And then next thing you know, like a month later, I'm getting a check for like $1,000 or $1,500.
Dude, like, killer.
That's like a half hour work. You know, that's like make a couple grand an hour. I'm like, ooh, hey, what else could I do? So I started finding other people that I knew were great, that people would ask me questions like, hey, Chris, who do you know that does blank? And so I started sending them referrals. I even had a wholesale jeweler that was like a third of the cost from what you get at the mall. I was like, hey, these guys are awesome. And I asked them, I was like, hey, do you have a kickback? Yeah, we pay 5% on referrals. Cool. Let's set that up. And so I became what's now referred to as affiliate marketing. You know, I just called it, you know, I'm sending referrals. You know, I was just referring to a few key people, like four or five different companies, but I was making $4,000 or $5,000 a month. And at that time, I only had two kids. So, you know, I have eight now, but you know, with two kids, I could easily live on $3,500 to $4,000 a month. Yeah. And so all of a sudden I realized like, wait a minute, I did the math. Like by that July, I was like, wait, I mean, I just made $18,000 last month, you know, some of that active, but a lot of it passive. Hey, I could technically retire now. And which blew my mind, because I remember 18,000 is like, I mean, that's almost what I made in a year at my job working 30 hours a week, you know, just a few years prior, you know. So it was like, whoa, this is so cool. And that's really how I did it. And the cool thing is there's so many different ways to create that. But it helped me realize that I didn't have to work hard. I didn't have to hustle, mm-hmm. you know, as everybody says, right?
Yep.
I didn't have to kick my butt. It was just a matter of how do I go about creating value for people in a way that naturally they want to pay for it.
I love that. I think that's so cool. And I love too that you also shared that you have eight kids, because for people looking at that, they might be thinking, oh, you know, I've got four kids. I can't, you know, I'm so far away from this, but you're like, dude, I did it with eight kids. Here's where I'm at. I think that's so incredible. What was the inspiration behind MoneyRipples.com?
You know, the inspiration was really this, like, it's funny. I just had my 5-year anniversary recently, you know.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And now I've been doing this forever. I mean, not forever, I guess. But I mean, like I mentioned, 2006, I actually came out of retirement in 2007, because people kept asking me over and over. They keep pulling me out of retirement. Yep. That's the thing. Every time I retire, there's always somebody saying, dude, I need you. And so I partnered up with some guys, worked with them for like 6 years. And then 5 years ago, I launched Money Ripples. And the main thing was this, is like, I remember thinking, I was trying to come up with a company name, actually. I was trying to come up with them. Like, what can I really name this thing? You know, and plus I was trying to find a good website that wouldn't cost me 10 grand because it had the word cash flow in it, because that's my focus, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, I remember I was on a run one morning and I thought, hey, I need to look at my vision. And my vision was, I thought of the hundreds of people I'd already helped, right? And how it benefited their lives. Because like my average client finds like $34,000 a year, whether it's freed up money,
wow.
Or it's like ongoing like income or whatever it might be, right? And so I was like, okay, there's like this huge blessing that happens in their life, right? Like this massive shift that happens for them. Well, how does that help their kids too? And creates generations of abundance versus scarcity thinking, especially around money. Not to mention that it helps benefit the community, the country, and across the world. It creates this ripple effect. And all of a sudden, while I was on my jog, all of a sudden the name came to my mind of Money Ripples. And I was like, crap, I got to get home. I got to see if that name's taken. So I like ran home, went on the computer. Nobody had it. It cost me like $7 to get on, you know, get online. I'm like, I am reserving that. That's way cheaper than 10 grand.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what Money Ripples is. And that's been my whole vision and goal, is creating that worldwide ripple effect of prosperity and freedom in people's lives.
Oh, I love that. So it sounds like with MoneyRipples.com, I've dug around your site for a little bit too, and your content's amazing, first off. So great job
thank
on
you.
That. It appears that it speaks to multiple audiences. So it speaks to people that are average Joe, that are trying to just be better with money, trying to figure mm-hmm. this stuff out. But then it also is very tied to entrepreneurs like myself that
right.
can learn how to increase their cash flow. So I appreciate the two different niches there too. I think that's really cool. It's a good way to go.
Yeah, thank you.
Now tell me a little bit about, I noticed you had a book too. Can you talk a little bit about Beyond Rice and Beans?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm kind of, slapping somebody in the face, with that phrase, rice and beans, living on rice and beans specifically. Right. But yeah, that's really what it's about is that, a lot of times people come to me and they're like, hey, I've done this stuff. Like some people have been literally living on rice and beans, which is crap. You don't ever want to do that, by the way. But I mean, some people have been sacrificing and suffering. They've been kind of like, saving or paying off debt and things like that. And there's so many ways you can do it without sacrificing your lifestyle. Because I'll tell you, like, life is just too short. I mean, one of those guys that I consider as a mentor back in 2006 died in a plane wreck in 2006. He was only 35 years old. And I remember going to his funeral and it shifted. It changed everything. I mean, that's what really got me to be inspired that summer when I retired. Think, okay, I need to do something more with my life. It was kind of like, what do I want to be when I grow up, when I retired, right? It's kind of the opposite, thing. And that's where my life really became about teaching. And I'll tell you, like, that's a big thing is that I after hundreds of people, I realized there's patterns. There's certain things that if you understand principles first and then strategy second, like you'll notice everything follows in line. And there, almost every time there's like at least 6 or 7 strategies that people can do to free up cash or increase their income. And so that's what that book's about. And you can tell I definitely wrote it for the busy person, whether the busy professional or entrepreneur, because seriously, you can read it in a lunch break. Like it's like 28 pages because I put page breaks in it. It would have been like 10 if I didn't. So, you're welcome. It takes like a half hour to read, but it's really good.
That is like exactly my kind of book too, because I don't have time to sit and read 300-400 page books anymore as much as I wish I did. So
that's what audiobooks are for.
Exactly. The audiobooks are the best. Do you have a favorite audiobook right now?
Oh my goodness. Oh, there's so many. Right now, I don't know if I have a favorite. I mean, well, audiobook wise, I mean, I have a favorite book. I mean, one of my favorite books of all time, there's a few, is How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's one of my favorite all-time favorites. That was like my first personal development book and still is my favorite. I still love like books like, some people talk about Thinking Grow Rich, which is a great book by Napoleon Hill. But my favorite actually was the one that stuck to me. It was actually in 2006 was his follow-up book called Master Key to Riches.
That one,
it's a good follow-up to Thinking Grow Rich, especially if you're the type of person that's read it at least once or twice and you're like, okay, how does this work? Mm-hmm. Napoleon Hill, went 20 years later after that book and then said, hey, let's talk about how this has actually worked. And he gives a little bit more evidence, goes a little bit deeper in some of those principles. And for me, I think just because of the things that – kind of like the things I teach on my podcast, but also the things that are in that book, if they start to gel together, you're like, oh, now I see it.
Yeah. Or
being a financial advisor, reading that book and be like, okay, I'm still struggling financially. What's going on? I should be rich right now. What's happening?
That's a good point. I think that's a really good point because I know there are definitely a few financial advisors that are listening into this podcast too. And so it's good to hear that you were there. You're very much in the trenches. You were helping people. You were showing them how to invest in mutual funds and index funds and all of this stuff too. And then you saw a different side. And it's not saying one's right or wrong. It was just different. And I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's really inspiring too, to hear that you can be very well educated in a specific area and be open-minded to other things too. So yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet.
So tell me a little bit about one of the topics that we were discussing too is how to find $5,000 in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So walk us through, how can the average person do this? What are the steps to take?
You bet. So I'll give you a brief stuff, but this is exactly what Beyond Rice and Beans talks about, right? So like the first one is tracking your money. Make sure you track not just your spending, but track your money coming in, like the income. I've noticed that people that are spenders like to look at their income but ignore their expenses. And those that are savers, which are also, by the way, rooted in scarcity, savers cannot ever be financially free. Savers, they actually focus on the expenses but never the income because it's never enough, right? You can never pay off debt fast enough. You can never save up enough money. Like even when you save up what you think is your goal as a saver, my experience has been that they still will be like, okay, well, that's still not enough. I got to keep saving. I got to keep being cheap, And sometimes it's even worse. My dad was like a hoarder type of saver. I mean, that guy has like 15-year-old Mrs. Butterworth on his shelf because it was on sale, Like that's the kind of house I was raised in, you know? So that kind of stuff doesn't work either. So it's, you know, really tracking your money, seeing what's coming in and what's going out and finding that flow, because money is meant to be used. It's meant to be spent, but it's need to be spent in a way that ended up creating more increase. And that's why I refer to it as stewardship. It's between the spender and the saver. It's right in the middle. Mm-hmm. The steward, you know, they actually want to amplify and create things and make it better. And they want to create things that actually create something now. Not it's like for someday. It's like, what do I do to actually make an impact today, specifically in people's lives as well as their own? And so how can they like make the most of any resource they have, both internal as well as like financial, right? Mm-hmm. And so really tracking the money. I like things like mint.com for personal expenses and income. They have an app, but they also have a website version. Awesome. Easy to use. I mean, downloading everything to one place, because I remember the old school days when we used to do things by paper and check registers and stuff and balancing checkbooks. Mm-hmm. That stuff is just ridiculous. And in fact, I had a client just recently. She works in her husband's chiropractic office. And funny enough, she was a client of mine for a while too. And then we follow up a few years later and she's like, yeah, I'm spending a couple hours a week on our finances. I'm like, why? I'm like, and she's like, yeah, I was just trying to keep up all the office stuff. Now, office stuff, I recommend doing QuickBooks. Yeah. Well, she wasn't doing QuickBooks at all. She was just doing paper, like doing things on paper and computer and everything else. And it's her own spreadsheets and just trying to track it all and add it all up. You know, that's something like trying to do calculator stuff, you know, that doesn't work. Yeah. It's like, well, let me punch in my calculator. Like how many times it gassed up? Oh, wait, was that the third? Totally. Well, clear, do it again. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
It's so much nicer when you can have something do it for you. So like with Mint, like if I just do it weekly, it seriously takes me like 4 to 5 minutes max to update everything. It's really not hard at all. And with my business, 10 to 15 minutes a week. That's it.
Dang.
You have to invest. And then the rest of the time you just focus on creating more income, you know? Yeah. But you really just get into that place where you understand it. I'll tell you, I had so many, especially entrepreneurs, it's really big with entrepreneurs where like they just figure they just need to make more money and then it's okay. And every time they tell me, hey, I'm just too busy to track my money, I guarantee you're losing at least $500 a month. That's $6,000 a year minimum, because that's what I find every time when they say that. One was a graphic designer. When I actually looked at her stuff, and we didn't have to make her cheaper or anything, like we did find some things like, hey, let's make better use of like your bundle package with Comcast and things like that, right? But when it was all said and done, we found $1,500 a month. And think about this. I mean, $1,500, that's $18,000 a year. And she feels she's too busy to track her money. But it's because she's not tracking her money, she has to keep being more busy, right? So that was huge. The worst I ever found, though, at least from a spending standpoint, was a woman in Silicon Valley, California. We found with her, she was eating out $5,600 a month.
A month?
Out, yes.
On Dude. Top of
groceries.
Wow.
Now I spent a winter in California. Like we snowbird each year to different places around the country and stuff. And I'll tell you, it's not that expensive. I mean, it's more expensive than like where I am in Utah, but you know, it's not that much. You know, and so I just told her, hey, let's get your eating out budget to quote unquote only $1,000 a month, which freed up $4,600 a month right there. That's like $55,000 a year. We found like another $10,000 a year in tax savings, plus other places like health insurance and other things, right? Other places I can find money leaks. And we found over $70,000 that year. Just even if she was making a million a year between her and her husband, $70,000 makes a big impact in people's lives, you know? And it was huge. So that's big. It's like, you know, make sure you track your money. The biggest I ever found was a guy who's a dentist out in Virginia. We found with his practice, he was leaking $16,000 a month.
Oh my gosh.
That's $200,000 a year. Plus we found another $6,000 a month just on personal stuff with like how we refinance debt and things like that, you know?
Wow. Gosh, that like really hurts my heart. As a money coach, I'm sitting here thinking, think of all the good you could do with that money or all the fun you could have or whatever the heck you want. That's amazing. And they probably felt overly stressed about money too. Is that right?
Yeah, someday. The dentist wasn't so much. That was the problem. He was kind of the opposite extreme. He was making millions in his practice. And making hundreds of thousands in his personal life. But when he found it, yeah, he was like, whoa, like, where did this come from? You know, and he's like, well, it came from just looking at the money. And that's the thing, that law of attention, right? Whatever you put your attention towards expands and grows. But there's also the law of atrophy, which is whatever you ignore will leave you or decay, right? It'll decay or die. So if you ignore your money, just like you ignore your relationships, you ignore your health, it's going to leave you. You ignore your money, it'll leave you too.
Yeah, you're hitting on so many good points. And immediately when you were talking about the people that tend to be more of the savers, like people like me, ignore some of the income piece. And immediately I was like, that is so true. Because just this week, I was looking at my YouTube channel and found that I had not actually collected my YouTube money for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. But you better believe I know all of my monthly expenses. So I was like, oh my gosh.
Subscriptions are a big one for people. I mean, even my wife, she's like, I just found out I've been spending like $50 a month on different services that I don't even use anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, it's only $50 a month, not huge, but still that's $50 a month you can use more productively somewhere else.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. So first step is to track all of your expenses. Make sure you keep an eye on where your money's going and look at your income piece as well.
Yes.
Okay. And then what else can we do?
You know what? I'm going to pick a few because I know there's a lot we could do. You know, another one is taxes. You know, especially if you're an entrepreneur or maybe you're looking to be like a side entrepreneur or a side hustle type thing. Taxes are a big one. Anybody who's been an entrepreneur, I've found at least $3,500 a year. Now, I'm not an accountant, so I can't tell people what to do, but I have a team of like accountants, attorneys, investment people. I have a whole team that supports me, right? Like anything with money or business, I've got somebody to help with that. That's niche there. Mm-hmm. And we'll find things like, for example, like, you know, in business, like a lot of times people aren't truly really tracking their mileage or they're not making use of it. Like I just got back from Hawaii a few weeks ago and I take what I call bizcations, right? So, cause the key is like, if you're going to travel, as long as you make it more than 50% of the days travel related or not travel, but you have some sort of business related activity during one of those days. And that business related activity might take a minute. Like it seriously does not have to be like all day long. It might just be like you did something, you know, business wise, whether you're like doing a little bit of marketing or you left a flyer or maybe you were like went to go meet somebody. Like I had potential clients or even current clients that were in Hawaii. It's like, hey, let's go meet up at like, you know, nice little, like fish house or whatever, you know, something like that. And, you know, and just did that. And one client, we actually went out twice because he's like, I want to, you know, come back over. I'm like, all right, that's one more day. Check, you know.
Check. Yep.
Then I did like, you know, and then I did like some of my, you know, business activities. Like I just said, okay, I'm going to book out one half of a morning, like one morning that I was going to do business stuff because my wife would not let me do business while I was there. And, you know, so we basically had our anniversary trip, but wrote off the whole thing. So all the travel, like the mile, like, you know, the flying there, you know, all the travel that way. There's the accommodations, like the stay, you know, we stayed in like a nice little cottage on the beach, you know, cool. And all the, you know, all the expenses, like food wise, like we're writing all that off. And even if you like meet a potential client, say even, I tell this with people that have kids, like, hey, you want to go to Disneyland, meet with a potential client or a current client out there, go play at Disneyland together and you write off the whole thing. And even if you don't have somebody to meet with, go to Disneyland. The best thing about Disneyland is you can actually go and say, hey, they do the best at marketing because, I mean, unlike the DMV where you wait in line forever and nobody likes it, you wait in line at Disneyland for an hour and a half and people are still smiling. Okay, why is that? Like, what are they doing to make people smile in line? Maybe we can learn to apply that to our business. Take notes, like a little notepad or like your phone even, just like take notes there and say, here it is. So even if the IRS questions it, you're like, here it is. I can show you, like, this is why I was at Disneyland. I was doing market research, dang it. Like, I'm a business owner too. And you're writing that dang sucker off, you know? So many ways to do it that way. So that's one type of tax thing. And then here's a big one. If you're an entrepreneur, you have anything that you could do from home, you can actually use your home residence as a way to essentially replace like a hotel. So for example, like if you ever rented meeting space in a hotel, whether you're doing events or even if you were to say, hey, I'm going to meet a client there. I mean, you could technically go rent a room at the Marriott for say $1,250 a day. Depending on where you live, it could be more or less, right? But let's just use that number 1250 because that's kind of nationwide for Marriott. Say, hey, you know what? Instead of using a hotel, I'm just going to use my house. And so you like end up picking, you know, using one of those days where you just do a one-day contract. You don't do a month lease. Don't do the month lease thing. That actually audits you now. But just say, hey, one day I'm going to, you know, I'm actually going to use my house for whatever purposes. Could actually be more bookkeeping related, right? It might be meeting with potential client or current clients or whatever it might be. Whatever it might be, right? I'm actually thinking about doing a game night at my house. I was like, okay, that'd be fun. You know, just invite people over and stuff. Like, because I actually need more of these days to write off. As long as you don't go over 14 days a year, you don't pay any tax on that money. So think about this. Say you just picked one day a month, right? And that's 12 days a year times 1250. That's $15,000 a year you can pay yourself. It's a business expense and it's income tax free.
Man.
So essentially, you just saved yourself between $3,000 and $6,000 a year just by doing that one thing, paying yourself the same money you were going to pay anyways, but now you just divert it a little bit differently, you know?
That is so clever.
So things just like that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's so many ways to save on taxes, but if you're an entrepreneur, the likelihood is you probably are overpaying on taxes.
What if they're not an entrepreneur?
You know, there are still some things to do there. I mean, that's where, like, a lot of times I get people that, more lately, I've actually got people that aren't entrepreneurs, and they've been more like working jobs. Maybe they make, you know, six figures at their job or whatever. And we'll find things to do, like real estate investing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the nice thing with real estate, and it might change the next few months with the whole tax reform, it might actually get better, actually, you know. Mm-hmm. But even right now, like, you get a rental property, you can not only create passive income from that, which I recommend, even if you're a business owner, to get other streams of income coming in, so then you work because you love it, not because you need to, mm-hmm. which I think is key, right? Yeah. Imagine how powerful you are, even if you're in business, when you work because you actually love it, but you're like, hey, I don't need the money. I mean, how powerful do you show up in sales conversations? Like, I really don't need your business, but I know I can help you. So what can I do for you, you know? And I'll tell you, from my own experience, people close like crazy. It's like people keep coming. You're like, whether you want them to or not, whether you need them to or not, they just keep coming, you know? Awesome. It's a powerful place to be. It's not like you're in a struggle place. But even people that are employees, they're trying to find ways to retire early, right? Well, great. Well, let's create passive income. And the cool thing is with real estate, you can actually get it to where you depreciate properties and do things on your taxes so that your income that you're coming doesn't even have to really be taxed potentially, you know, or get very minimal tax.
Yeah.
So there's things you can do there. There's even like oil and gas you can go invest in. But, you know, I mean, that's you're doing that only because you're trying to save on taxes. I mean, there's all kinds of creative strategies you can do. There's ways you can buy property and donate it and get multipliers. And I mean, there's lots of things. But I'll tell you the easiest way to get the best tax breaks is to at least have a side business, you know, whatever that might be. You know, so there's definitely, even if you're just an employee, it's like, great, can we turn a hobby into something that can actually give you a nice little tax break?
Yeah, I think you're spot on too. And any more with millennials, so with people that are like 25 to about 35 years old, it's so interesting to see the data and the stats on them, because that mm-hmm. is something where most of them have their typical 9-to-5, but then uh-huh. they are side hustling and they are trying to grow a business on the side too. But I don't see them taking advantage of these tax opportunities like you're talking about. So I think that's a really mm-mm. good reminder for people. Do you know off the top of your head, for network marketing, is that counted as a business on your taxes as well?
Oh, definitely.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had one client in California that was actually a leader in a network marketing company with an essential oils company.
Yeah.
And in her case, she actually had six kids, kind of like I do, right? Mm-hmm. One of the strategies we did on the tax side is, as I said, hey, are you paying your kids? Because the hard thing with network marketing is that it can be very, when you start making multiple six figures, mm-hmm. you're profitable, but there's really not that much business expense. I mean, really, when you look at it, it's like you're paid to be just a leader and a marketer, really. I mean, you're doing marketing, sales, and leadership. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do any of the back end stuff because they already got flyers for you. They got marketing for you in that sense, right? They've got also payroll done for you, so you don't have to pay for a payroll person. You don't really have to have employees in network marketing, you know? And so with her, it's like, well, how about paying your kids? And she found out, like, hey, she could pay her kids over $6,000 a year, which is like basically $36,000 a year she could pay her kids tax-free.
Wow.
So that actually ended up saving her $13,000 a year on her taxes. And what does it go to? It just goes to paying for the same thing she was already paying for, like right. clothes, extracurricular activities, schooling, you name it, right? It's basically paying for all that stuff that she was already going to be paying for.
Clever stuff. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. I love that idea too, of getting your kids involved, paying them a salary or a stipend or whatever you want to do with that. That's super cool.
Network marketing, there's so much you can do. I mean, tax side, income, and multiple streams of income side, that's the biggest thing I see as a concern with network marketers. And this would go with everybody, even employees, is that they don't have other streams of income to help them out, right? Like I just had a client just email me today saying like SOS, like I just got fired from my job. I just got let go.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. All right. We're already starting to create some things that were passive, but now we got to shift it and make it work. And I'll tell you, I have family members that are like huge leaders in network marketing companies. And if paychecks stop today, they're toast. They don't have anything. And so to be able to, again, show up powerfully, even in your company and say, hey, you know what? I've got other streams of income. I don't even need to do this business. Even outside the residuals I'm making this company, I'm awesome. I'm great. But I love this company. I love my passion and my purpose. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's incredible what you can start creating if you have that kind of thing in place.
Yeah, spot on. I'm with you on that too. So if you were to give a younger person advice, so say somebody that's right out of college, paying off debt, working their tails off to try to get into a good financial position, where should they focus all of their attention and energy financially?
Well, really, increasing their income is big. I mean, any way possible. It might be you're just, I mean, maybe you are doing some side stuff on the side. Maybe you are doing like your own little like Turo or, you know, Turo business where you rent out your car. So you don't have to be the Uber driver. There's Uber and Lyft, right? Which obviously everybody knows about. But there's Turo, which is a nice app, which basically replaced like budget rental car or enterprise and those kind of things. It's like a private version of that. So you can even rent out your vehicles if you got an extra vehicle. In fact, I met a guy in Hawaii. That's actually what he does. He's in college, finishing up college and starting to, but that's more his business now is renting out his different vehicles that he got and letting people drive them around themselves, you know? But yeah, finding other streams of income. It could be Amazon. I mean, if you get your Amazon membership, are you getting cuts of like referring people to sites and backlinks and stuff? If you're really techie, that's a great way to go. I just had a client ask me saying, hey, I think I might want to take a class on that to learn how to make money through Amazon, especially with the whole Whole Foods thing, right?
Totally. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can make money right now. It's so simple. But yeah, really focus on other streams of income. And you know what? You mentioned debt. Here's the thing I tell people is don't fear debt, but do respect it. Because everybody teaches you that debt's horrible and you should put all your money to pay that off. I actually don't think so. I mean, there are some debts that I do, but I look at it debt from a bigger picture of like cash, right? Like I actually tell people ignore the interest rate. Because the interest rate really doesn't matter. It's what is it doing to you month to month? That's the thing that's making you feel like you're in bondage, right? And so I look at it, it's like if I had money to pay towards a loan or money to pay towards like an investment or something to pay me cash flow, which one's going to pay me more? So I actually have had clients where like I had one client, he was actually a 62-year-old guy, right? In his case, he had $500,000 in IRA just sitting in his stupid retirement account doing nothing. Wow. And then he had he had different debts, not bad debts, but he had ones that if we restructured them, we could free up $50,000 a year, like $4,200 a month, right? And I only had to use $100,000 to do that. And so I said, cash out your $100,000 from your IRA. He's like, Chris, how am I going to retire? I'm like, 50% return guaranteed, $50,000 from 100 grand. This is a pretty amazing return. Do you have any financial advisors who can do this? No. And he's like, yeah, but I can't retire. And finally, it was his wife. Women always get it faster. Like whoever is less financially trained gets common sense faster, right? That's right. And she's like, this makes sense. And you still have 400 grand. Who cares? And so we actually did that, redid everything. And the cool thing is not only did he free up $4,200 a month, but he relaxed because in his business, he was burning out year after year. And what ended up happening is he ended up, he got to a point where he relaxed. He started having more fun at his work again. And funny enough, his close ratios went up, just like I mentioned before, right? Like when you're in a freer place, you tend to do better when you're talking to people anyways. His close ratios went up. He made an extra $2,000 a month from that. So in total, he made almost like 75 grand that year just from that 100 grand, And
it's amazing.
And not everybody has that because I'll tell you, I was in a place where I had no money and no credit during the Great Recession. So you remember how I retired? I got to a place where I had no money and no credit anymore, but I had $1 million of debt that stacked up against me because I was in the hole $16,000 a month. That's what really drove me to do those cash flow tips in that, that book, right? And so that's the thing I started teaching. I was like, I had to get creative myself. And I was just teaching that to everybody else, And I'll tell you, like with debt, like it was the same thing. Like it wasn't the interest rate that was killing me. It was the payments. And so I had a lady who came to me. She's like, hey, I want to do real estate investing. I have like 20 grand, cool. But I'm like, hey, but I can actually use 6 grand here. We can restructure some things and we'll free up $600 a month. So let's do that. Yeah. And then you'll have the $600 a month and then we can go put that towards real estate investing anyways within the next year, But now if anything happens to your income where it goes up or down or whatever happens, you're in a much better place. And so the thing I'll just say with debt is it's always case by case. And there's if it's taking a lot of cash flow out of your pocket, like you have a $2,000 loan that's costing you $200 a month, pay that off, regardless if the interest rate's like 2%, pay it off. But if you have something that's like a student loan, like a lot of people are like, oh, I got a student loan, it's horrible. And okay, how much is it? That's like 70 grand. Okay, what are you paying per month? Like 500. Okay, well, keep that, pay the minimum payment. Don't you dare pay that thing off early. There's so many more things you do with your money to make more than that money,
That's
stop stocking away, especially when it's like a mortgage or a student loan, or a car loan. You put extra money into it, your payment stays the same. until it's paid off, it's the same payment. So it's like a negative 100% rate of return. You put your money in, but you don't see the benefit until it's totally paid off. Just like put into a 401k. It's a crappy thing to do. If you're, by the way, if you're a millennial right now, mm-hmm. and they're telling you it's smart to do a 401k, it's bull crap. Total bull crap. Because if you're going to have to wait till you're 59 and a half to touch that money anyways, it's just an expense. Yeah. And you might not even be alive to enjoy it. So why not get that money in your pocket now and do other things that creates cash flow now? And that can create some freedom. It could be putting to pay off loans. They could be doing other things to create passive income for you so that you don't even have to be working that job. And you could be doing like what I did where you're retiring by the time you're 40, you know? Yep. That's possible.
That's so cool. I love that you're sharing this too, because it's such a different perspective than what most people hear when they talk about money. They're always hearing mm-hmm. pay off that debt, you know, then eventually you get to live your good life when you're 60 and, you know, yeah. when you get to retirement, that's when you can have fun. And you're kind of flipping this saying, think about it. If you were to put that money instead of paying off the debt into something that you could leverage that could make you more per month, that yes. cash flow will be better for your life in the short run and the long run. I think that's yep. it's a good perspective for sure. I think you're spot on that it is, of course, case by case. But
yeah,
that is something to think about. And that was early on in my business. That was advice that I received too. Was I was looking at trying to pay off my house early. And so I'm like, okay, I can put like $1,000 extra a month towards my house. Should I do that? And this mentor of mine was like, hey, you're going to need that cash in your business and it's going to be mm-hmm. better there. But if you put it towards your house, you don't have that cash anymore. And so for me at that stage, I'm like, ooh, that's actually a good point.
Yeah, there's no control. You know, that's and that's what I realized. Like when I got in that place, like when I was $16,000 in the hole each month, because I came out of retirement, I cut off some of my income streams to basically live my mission when I worked with those partners.
Yeah.
But then this perfect storm happened because I had real estate investments that, again, I wasn't focused on the cash flow. Mm-hmm. I was just like, hey, markets go up. So I'm just going to focus on appreciation, which I tell people don't do that, right? Like focus on cash flow, not appreciation. Not to mention, I sunk a lot of my extra money into equity in my home because I thought, hey, well, that's what Dave Ramsey teaches. So why shouldn't I, right? You know, I did that. And I wasn't, again, watching my money. You know, I was like just, hey, I'm doing what I love. This is fun. I'm making great money. But then I realized like, wait, when I really looked at the numbers, I was in the hole $15,000-$16,000 a month. Wow. I was like, ooh, this could be why my savings are starting to dwindle fast and my lines of credit are going up, right? Yep. And that was a big epiphany, was like, crap. Like if I would have had all that extra money I had used in different places, if I had that in cash, I would have weathered the Great Recession just fine. I mean, it would have been tight a little bit, but mentally, I would have been in a better space to go and say, all right, what do I need to do here? How can I be productive versus like scrambling, right? Where I'm scrambling, trying to make money. And then you're like in this desperate place. And whenever you're desperate, I call it business breath. You know, whenever you have that business breath where you're desperate, like you reek and people don't even want to talk to you, you know? Now, most people, they never knew I was going through that, but I know it still affected my business to a place where I wasn't doing as well as it could have been. I had to talk to more people to try to get more clients and things like that. You know, I was really scrambling, you know, and it was hard. It was a really hard place to be. But I'll tell you, like, the cool thing is I didn't have to file for bankruptcy. You know, I had to, you know, I could have. In fact, I probably would have been better off credit-wise if I did. Mm-hmm. But I was like, nope, I'm going to pay these things back, you know, and slowly but surely I did, you know. And in fact, within 3.5 years, I paid off over 900 grand of that debt.
Nice, man. That's pretty cool. You were working hard there, I'm sure.
I was, yeah. But yeah, equity and stuff like that and 401ks, totally useless. You know, control of your money and putting that money to use to make more cash flow today, mm-hmm. that's the key.
I love it. I think that's really, really good advice and very different than what people will hear again. I think that's important for people to hear all different sides instead of just buying into one plan and signing your life away to this one plan. It's like, look at your options, see what's out there for you. I appreciate that.
That's why it works, right?
That's right. That's exactly, you know, right.
If the traditional way has been taught for 40 years still hasn't worked, like people are still paycheck to paycheck, retiring broke.
That's true.
Maybe we should try doing the opposite because we probably have better odds of success, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think you're living proof that it can work for sure. If you go against the grain, I mean, you can retire 28, be pulled out of retirement again, and then maybe choose to again at 39. I have a feeling I don't think you're ever going to officially retire, man. I have a feeling.
No, I tried. I mean, even last winter, like when I was in snowbirding in California, I was out in Oceanside in Carlsbad area. Oh, I loved it. I was only working 5 or 10 hours a week, but I'll tell you, I got bored, you know, and that's the one thing, like when people say like, oh, that must be so nice, you know, like, especially when I was like, didn't have to work at all. Right. And I tell them, I was like, you know, it's not that nice. Like, ask anybody who's ever retired. They're like, yeah, actually working can be fun. Mm-hmm. If it's on your own terms, it's doing what you love. And I think that's the key is really like, how do we do more of what we love with those that we do love, right? And being with those people and just enjoying life and living that rich life. That's really what it comes down to. And yeah, if you just do the traditional stuff, you're not going to enjoy that. It's going to be a very hard, long road that you'll find out like, wow, now I'm almost to my deathbed and I can't do all the things I've wanted to do because my health isn't there anymore. You know, I don't have the energy. The people I want to be with, they've moved out, you know, like they're all have families of their own. And you know, it's have a rich life today. It requires you to start having that focus of what creates wealth today and in the future, not just someday. Because someday is just that kiss of death to your life. I mean, it really is. Because you'll say someday for the rest of your life, and then next thing you know, you're listening to the song "Cats in the Cradle" and you're crying your eyes out because you realize that's your life. You know, so don't be that person. Yeah.
Is that who sings that song? Cats in the Cradle?
No, it's oh shoot. It's from the 70s.
Cinderella.
No, Cats in the Cradle. It's the old version I'm thinking of, like the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. Yeah, that one. Yeah. There might have been some remakes of it, but yeah, go Google it or Shazam
After this. So now I'm like, okay, who is it? Come on. I grew up on this stuff. My mom may just be disappointed at me.
I want to say it was Bob Dylan. It's not Bob Dylan. No, you wouldn't understand the words if that were the case, but yeah. It was Neil Diamond. I don't know.
It was totally Neil. Abraham Lincoln. We'll just end it there. That's awesome. So, Chris, this has been such a fun conversation. I appreciate you taking some time and sharing all of your success tips and your failures and just everything that's made you who you are today. I think that's super cool to hear. Where do people go primarily to learn more about you aside from moneyripples.com? Is there a place you like people to go check out?
Yeah, I mean, definitely check out my podcast. You know, I like to do like 20 to 30 minute episodes max, you know, like usually it's 15 to 20 minutes if it's just me, you know, and it's like usually quick little bits. And so if you just go to the Chris Miles Money Show, whatever podcast app you use, you know, check it out, iTunes or whatever, because that's really where I teach anything from personal development to money to business. I mean, kind of like the things we talk about today, but we dig deeper.
I love it. Chris, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. This was so much fun. I appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate it too. Thank you so much.
All right. What'd you think? I loved this episode with Chris. I thought the thing that really stood out to me was when he mentioned how whatever you focus your attention on is what you're going to see results with. And whatever you ignore is that law of atrophy. That's what's going to diminish or slowly decrease. So hopefully you are keeping a real close eye on your cash flow so that you're actually making money every single month. And I guess capitalizing on that, that's something that we tend to forget about, is we focus on net worth, we focus on our credit score, but we seem to forget that cash flow is also super important. So that was the message that really hit home for me personally, and I would love to hear what resonated with you. Let me know. Share this on Twitter. Tag me at Whitney Hansen Co. Share it in the private Facebook group. I'd love to see what part stuck out to you most, and more importantly, what you're going to do with this newfound knowledge. So thank you so, so much for joining in, and I will see you guys next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.